Hello and welcome to the Joking Dolphin Gaming Podcast. I'm Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew.
Hi.
And Nathan.
Hello.
How are we on this fine day, folks?
Pretty good.
That wasn't very convincing now, was it?
Well, the weather's died down a bit, so I'm happy about that part.
I found it's got very warm at night now. I don't know why.
Guess about
midnight, and then suddenly I'm boiling.
Unlucky.
The rest of the day, I'm fine.
I found the opposite. Because when it's warm at night, Lisa puts the aircon on. It's 16 degrees, and I'm shivering in covers.
Well, it's not to do with weather, is it? It's something to do with
temperature control.
Yeah, you need to have a chat, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. Like, marital issues.
Shall we go on to the news?
Let's do it.
So, I think one thing that's kind of been in the news quite a bit recently is the Fortnite and Epic Games and Apple have been getting into a bit of handbags, haven't they?
And Android.
Just a bit. Well, yeah. Less Android, should we say.
So Apple removed Fortnite from the App Store after Epic Games introduced a direct payment option in the app, something like that, yeah. I think.
Yeah, that's right.
For their in-game influencer.
Yeah, so what Epic decided to do was put a new purchase option in called... I can't see where it is now. Basically, I did my notes. Basically, they've added a payment option, which bypasses Apple and Android getting their cuts of the payment. Now, I know Apple, they used to take a 30% cut from any sale of V-Bucks. But now, due to that, they can't get their 30%. So they've removed Fortnite from the App Store and it's not playable at present. Android have also done the same. So in effect, Fortnite is dead on mobile at the minute due to this.
And Epic's now filed a lawsuit, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
For anti-competitive actions.
Something like
that. Now, I'm not really a Fortnite player at all, and I never will be, but this is clearly going to affect tons of people.
Well, the thing is, as well, Apple have... They did something with the Unreal Engine as well. I think they've banned that too. And there's a lot of mobile games that kind of run off the Unreal Engine. At least small developers that have used it, they're on mobile. So it, in effect, it kind of affects them as well. So it just sounds like a massive mess, this.
Yeah, it's pretty much changing the landscape in terms of mobile games, isn't it? I mean, I don't really mobile game myself. But if Epic Games end up winning this lawsuit, that could change how things go forward in terms of gaming, couldn't it? On mobiles.
Ooh, quite possibly, yeah. I mean, I think the argument on Epic's side, for at least with Apple, is that I think Epic really want to get their kind of own store going on mobile. Yeah. And I don't think there's anything that stops them on the Android side of stuff, and then they can do it there, which I think is why there's more of a focus on Apple, because I think there's something directly in their terms and conditions of being on their platform that you can't essentially create your own store and take your own cut away from Apple being on their platform.
Yeah, I think that's right. Terms of service.
Yeah, so it's this. I think this is where this the whole argument is, because along with making a new payment option, Epic also made their option cheaper by 20%. So obviously people are like, oh, you're going to go for a cheaper option. But clearly Apple's gone and put a stamp on this. But it's weird that Epic are trying to set themselves up as almost like an underdog in this two-billionaire company fight.
There's so much money involved in both, isn't
there? Yeah. It's like everyone else has paid to be on Apple's platform. And obviously, it's probably the more popular of the two.
But it's not like they can't afford it.
That's true.
It's a weird one.
I think it sets the precedent, though, doesn't it? If they let Epic go with this one, then other companies will follow suit and they'll lose that revenue. And it's massive, isn't it? It's like the $18 billion company versus the nearly $1 trillion company. Yeah. The figures we're talking about are absolutely massive, but I think it's good for the consumer if this goes through and Epic wins due to the money that you'd be saving, because You've got to think Epic would have been the raise in V-Buck value would have been due to limiting that 30% hit that they got. But now they've got their own store. They can basically charge whatever they want without really losing any money.
Mm. Surely Apple deserve that cut. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
For being on their platform.
For having the platform. I agree there should be some cut, but I think 30% is a lot. But again, platform.
So you think it should just be less cut?
Basically. Yeah.
But then, this also plays into the whole PC thing that Epic's doing against Valve with Steam. Like, Epic are taking less of a cut on their store site. Even though Steam was like the big, obviously, you know, for a big time, the only platform you get your games from until, you know, EA and Ubisoft did their thing with their stores and stuff and took their games off. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, I feel like Epic's really trying to like muscle in everywhere that they can have the store on, basically. I don't know, it's weird to try and like say they're the good guys when they come in onto the PC side and like, yeah, do you know that game? Oh, it's exclusive for us for a year. That one, yep, on us.
I don't see a good side on either of these, to be honest.
It's, yeah, I can't root for anyone because it's just two bad companies having a fight.
Just to see what happens then. Because I think long-term, yeah, it could have some interesting consequences. Long-term
it could be, yeah. It's weird. It's just really...
Yeah. Mm. I'm sure over the coming weeks we'll see how it plays out, and I'm sure it probably won't be the last time we'll speak about it.
It's a drag-on for months.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Something else I noticed that was shown was the Xbox Series X UI reveal. Did you guys see this?
Oh, the dashboard, yeah.
The only good thing I really took from it is when captures are made, they can be sent to your phone for easy sharing on mobile devices. I quite like that.
That sounds good.
That's really good, because at the minute, what I have to do if I take a snapshot is post it to Twitter or somewhere, and then I can grab it from Twitter and do what I want.
Yeah, that's what I do.
That's nice.
That's on PlayStation, though, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah.
So I've just got like a private account, which like I just send it to, and then I can just move it to whatever.
I do something similar with Xbox, because they've got integration with their apps and stuff. All the captures or screenshots I do, I'll send it to my OneDrive, and then I can just do what I need
grab
to.
Grab it from there. Yeah.
It's a little bit better than what PlayStation's got currently, but it's still not brilliant.
I find the one on the PlayStation quite slow at times. I'll press the share button. And then, like 6 seconds later, the thing will go.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like,
That's not what I took a screenshot of.
It's weird, because I'm sure when PS4 came out, it was like almost instantaneous. Like, screenshot, boom, you could do stuff. Yeah. And I think as like all slow, more like the patches have come in on the OS side of it, it's really slowed it down.
Mm.
It's really bad now.
I mean, all I want from the Xbox One, basically, is I just want it to be more responsive than it is now. I really don't like the design of the Xbox One.
Yeah, it's very, there's menus everywhere. You click the X button, there's menus. You click the option-y button, there's more menus. And they're all tucked in everywhere as well. It's not as easy to use as PlayStation or even the Switch one.
Yeah, because PlayStation is just like one line. It tells you exactly what it is. Go into it, and then you can see your menus in there easy, and you can just find easily what you want.
Yeah.
I just don't know where to even begin on Xbox. It's just like... And then there's all the things like the pins and that kind of thing. It's like, I don't remember pinning that onto my dashboard. Why is that there?
Yeah.
It's just like, get rid of it. Change it.
I've got the Domino's app on there. I'm like, yes, thank you very much. I'll play a bit of Crackdown, and I'll order a pizza.
But the thing is, that's the sort of thing that shouldn't be on a dashboard.
Or should it?
Look, if I want to order pizza on my Xbox, I'll order a pizza, right?
I think it's like on the Xbox, it's like there's a load of like boxes, and a lot of them just don't match up with each other. That's the thing.
Mm.
Whereas on the PlayStation, I can just make a folder and put all my games in it, and I know as soon as I go into that, that's my games. There's nothing else in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. Xbox got a mind of its own in terms of it's like what it wants to put on your front page.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it, Matt? Because you use Xbox quite a bit more than myself and Mark.
I mean, I got used to it, really. The pin stuff was handy, being able to have like a separate page of, you know, pinning the apps I want to go into straight away. So if I want, you know, my favorite games that I always play, put them in there. Any apps, so like YouTube or Netflix, just straight into it. It did get cluttered quite a bit, especially when it comes to like adverts and stuff. It really, I think like every page you're on, yeah, is pretty much adverts.
I hate like rolling adverts. That's what I don't like.
Mm.
It's where they change like every 5 seconds.
Mm.
I hate that sort of stuff.
You really don't like electronic billboards, do you?
No, I hate them.
It's like some sort of dystopia. Just off the back of the UI stuff, the Xbox Series X is coming in November. We don't have a date as yet, but they've said it's going to be in November, so we know when we need to save the pennies for. And so it's quite exciting.
I suspect it's going to be towards Thanksgiving, isn't it? That's when all the Americans will be off work. And
when's Thanksgiving?
An elbow in somebody in the face for some
turkey,
some sweet Black Friday deals.
No, I'm not American, so I can't tell you the exact date, but I think it's middle to late November, I think.
So I think, what is it? Cyberpunk comes out.
Yes, around that time, yes. 19th, is it? I might be
something
guessing.
Like that, I think.
Something like that. Yeah, I think it might be the week before that. That's what I think.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving is going to be on the 26th of November this year.
Right. I think it's going to be sooner than that.
I think the week before, maybe. But
I think in 2 weeks.
I don't know where the PlayStation fits into that. Where would that come out? Because I would have thought both would have come out around that time. Who's going to jump the gun first?
That's all I want. Someone just tell me a price. That's all.
That's it. That's all we need.
It's getting exhausting now. I don't care about your games. Just tell me your price, and I'll buy
one of you. To be honest, even if there's a 50 quid swing either way, I don't care. I just want to know how much you're going to charge me. I'll buy them both anyway, probably.
Which one do we think is going to be the most expensive?
Xbox.
You reckon Xbox?
Because it's a little bit more powerful. I mean, I think they're probably going to be around the same price. But, yeah. I'm thinking about 500 quid mark each. 455.
I'm thinking 550 to 600. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be that high.
Well, I hope not, but that's what I'm
hoping not, but I'm getting a weird feeling about it.
Maybe the PS5 disc version might be something about that. I think
the digital version was more expensive.
The games seem to be.
Games, yes. Reasons? Oh, that's going to be fun. Reasons?
Yeah, I think we might think an extra 50 quid or so for the disc.
This one.
Yeah. Because all you're doing is sticking a 4K Blu-ray drive in, and that's about it.
Wait, isn't it 8K? Is it meant to be doing 8K?
Well, is it 8 now?
That's the selling point for that console, though, isn't it? It's that you can play Blu-rays on it, which you wouldn't be able to do on your console.
Yeah.
And your digital...
That's it. And plus,
that's the selling point, isn't it?
Yeah, so.
There's a lot more advantages to that team, in my view. Xbox. This happened a while ago, but Halo Infinite got delayed.
Yeah, until probably, 2021.
Probably unsurprising to people. As we previously mentioned, I didn't think the game looked all that bad, actually. But I know a lot of people were up in arms about it.
Mm.
And they seem to have responded by delaying it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it looked cool, but I did think the graphics were a bit this gen. Mm. But yeah, I think if they're not happy with it, I'd rather them wait. Sure it's right before they bring it out, rather than it come out, it'd be crap, and then they put a patch in 3 months later. Yeah. But off the back of this, what's that going to do to the launch plans of the Xbox? Because there's no headline game now, really.
This is wrecked the launch, hasn't it?
Well, I think this is where the marketing is going to have to really focus on that Game Pass. Yeah. Game Pass is going to be absolutely important now.
They're going to have to push their other games as well. They're going to have to show why you need to buy them, why you need to play them. So far, they've not convinced me yet.
Well, the event that they came out with, it didn't really blow it, everybody out of the water. It was a bit...
They opened with Halo, didn't they?
Yeah.
Obviously, they thought that was
Well, I suppose we'll have to see in the future, because I think they've still got a few more showcases to show off, so they're going to have to pick some else to really focus on.
Yeah, they're going to have to do a lot of rethinking of how this goes.
They could focus on that, like, pretty much every third-party game will look better on Xbox One, Xbox Series X. I'm even getting confused there.
Yeah.
The XSX, there we go.
I think they should give us Gears 6. Come on, just get it done.
Why?
I'd take it.
Get it done in a few months. When did the last one come out?
Delay one game to rush another game.
Last year.
I think you might be.
Six is a way away.
That's a cry of desperation, there, Dave.
It is. I want it now. I can't wait anymore.
They can't finish Halo in that amount of time. They're not going to be able to do Gears 6, are they?
Yeah, stick to the 6th of September 2019 when it was released. So a year. Come on. a few months, but. That'd save it for me. That game would make me buy it on day one because I want to play it so badly. That's what they need to do. They need a game that's going to make people want it.
Yeah. Evan's become like a gearhead.
I wonder what he said for a second there. I love Gears of War. Ever since I started playing 4 and then eventually 5 a few months ago, it's got me back into it. And now I'm waiting like everybody else. It's horrible.
Can you not start from 1 again?
You're going to have to wait a few more years, I'm afraid.
If you start at 4, why have you gone back to 1?
I played 1 to 3 on 360 back in day, and I'd not played any of the Xbox One games before, so I started on 4 a few months ago, and then 5 more recently, and completed them 2, and now I'm in the boat with everybody else, just waiting for number 6.
I've played 1, so. I bought 1 to 3.
Just sitting there.
He's born. I'd play a Mark. I'd implore you to play them.
That's your homework for next.
Are they long? 8 to 10 hours. Well, 8 to 12 hours each, I'd say. So it's not no massive games.
Okay.
You're doing weekend probably.
Well, I'm off work this week, so.
Oh, well.
That's it. That's your homework for
next week. Yeah.
Too many other games to play, actually. But that wasn't the only delay. We had a more recent one, which was Deathloop. Delayed to quarter 2 next year. So April, May, June.
April to June. Unless it's financial. Because I think the first financial one starts in April. So
that's not a massive delay, in my view, but...
No,
there's plenty of other things to play.
That's it. We're inundated by games, so it's not the end of the world if something takes an extra few months.
I'm sure Cyberpunk might last me up until then. Well, unless that ends up getting delayed again. There is a chance.
Well, just to intersect in there as well, I read another game also got delayed, one that I was actually looking forward to, which was Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. That's been delayed into 2021 as well. There's no fixed date for it. So another one that's probably suffered due to the ongoings in the world, unfortunately.
Yeah, or some people are just using that as a cover story.
Well, it could be, because there's actually a little bit into this is that they've had to do a bit of organizational restructuring. Like, I think one of the lead narrative designers was let go by the company following this announcement. Someone else that got let go as well, who then went to a gaming news website and said this was the first that he heard of it. He'd been let go.
That's awful.
Okay. So I don't know what happens there, but it's interesting.
I mean, I can understand why COVID slowed everything down, because people are trying to cut the cloth accordingly because they're not making as much money.
And plus, it makes teamwork a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
You can't just get up from your desk and go and chat as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, with the best will in the world, you've got to find time to go and call somebody. It's got to be a time that's right for everybody. You can't just have that open dialogue between a team. Yeah. Because you have to, you physically have to make that time on a Zoom call or Skype or what have you, to do it. So it is a lot. It is a bit more difficult to collaborate with people. So, but as I've said before, as long as it's done right, and as long as the game is realised and they're happy with it, then we can wait.
I'm tired of unfinished games getting released, so just hold it off. Just do it. It's fine. We can wait. We've waited all this time. We can wait a bit more.
I've got
a massive pile of games to play. It's cool.
Yeah.
Just hold off. It's fine. Don't worry about it. There was announcements for a multiplayer for Ghost of Tsushima, which I, as you know, I'm a big fan of. So this really quite excited me. So it's a free online multiplayer that will release this fall. And it's inspired by Japanese folk tales and mythology. And you can do two players can do online story missions, and four players can do like wave based survival missions, and raids are to come later on.
Oh, cool!
Interesting.
That's another reason to buy it then. I've not got it myself yet, but from what you've said, Mark, I'm really looking forward to playing it. It's a bit too rich for my blood at the minute, but when it goes down in price a bit, around 20, 25 quid, I think I'll snap it up at that point and play it.
Well worth your time and money. And in it, you can have four different character classes. So there's Samurai, Hunter, Ronin, and Assassin.
Ooh, Assassin sounds cool.
Well, I knew you'd be the one who liked that.
Me?
Samurai for me. I fight with honour. Sometimes.
And I fight dirty.
Which one's the range one? I'll probably end up with that one. Was the one like focused on bows and stuff?
There is, but I don't know which one that fits into one of them though. Right. It's not the Ronin. Hunter maybe? I don't know.
Probably Hunter. It sounds like
Hunter. I can't remember what Hunter it was.
It sounds like a thing, so I'll probably be the Hunter.
Yeah.
And we had a bunch of games revealed, didn't we? So at last we had a Call of Duty announcement.
Oh yes, yeah.
So Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War officially got announced. After being leaked ages ago on a Doritos pack. looked a bit gloomy. Did either of you actually watch the trailer?
I've not watched it, no.
I did, yeah. It's very on brand for Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's very ominous, isn't it? About like.
Yeah. They always seem to like to take...
spies and that kind of thing.
Well, they said it was based on actual events that happened, whether that's... loosely based on what happened.
Yeah, I presume they've taken liberties at certain places. Yeah.
They showed off the cover art for the game as well. Have you seen that?
Oh, I didn't see that. So what's any good?
It's probably like their most colourful cover art they've ever done for Call of Duty. It's essentially like there's like a split down the middle. So like one side is like it's got like one half of a face of like a Russian, I think, soldier or. I think it might be someone that's actually important within the game. But there's like propaganda of Russia going around like the edges and stuff on this like white background as well. And on the other side, it's got like the American version of that in effect, where it's all based on the Cold War. I'll have to see if I can... Well, I'm sure you'll find it after we've done this episode. That. But it looks strikingly quite... quite nice actually for a cover art. It's a bit different for Call of Duty because it's normally just like generic soldier man in the middle.
Gun or
something like that.
And there's going to be a worldwide reveal on August 26th. So that's this coming Wednesday.
Ooh, very soon.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll see about that. Only just announced last night, or shown off last night, was the trailer for Gotham Knights.
Woo.
So this is the new V Montreal game, isn't it?
Yeah, One Brothers Montreal Studios.
I think we're both in agreement here, Matt, in that we think Origins is underrated. So
I think it is, Origins.
So I'm kind of looking forward to this. I think it looks pretty good.
I really liked it. So there was the cinematic trailer that obviously showed off the premise of what the game is going to be about. So And unfortunately, Bruce has died. Bruce Wayne has died.
Apparently.
Apparently. Poor Bruce.
And it's up to four of the Bat family to, well, look after Gotham while he's away. So I think there was Nightwing, Batgirl, Robin, and Red Hood. Yeah. And they showed off some of the stuff they'd be doing, and they all looked to have their own like unique sense and how they control and stuff. I was very intrigued by probably Robin's most, because it looks like from what I've read, he uses like the Watchtower's satellite to teleport around. I was like, oh, that's quite interesting. Considering apparently they had access to outdated technology, according to Bruce, and here's Robin moving around with very advanced technology.
I think that's trying to find a way for each person to move in a different way, didn't they? So,
yeah, it's a little unique. So I think
I think Batgirl's going to be like obviously the most similar to the way we know
it. It looked like it. Like she had the grapple flying around the city, very brutal looking takedowns. And then probably her and Nightwing probably going to be the similarest, because I think Nightwing will just control how he does in Arkham Knight when you got him in like the challenge modes and stuff. Red Hood will be the most interesting one because he just murders people. Pretty much.
He might up your alley, Nathan.
I think I'll be
Red Hood. Mr. Jason Todd.
Yeah. Well, I've never played a Batman game, but from what you guys are saying, it does sound quite interesting. And there'll be a good dynamic between the four different characters.
You've got four games to play through first, mate.
Oh, no. Hey, I've got some homework to do now. You can play Gears, and I'll play the Batman games.
Oh, brilliant. Star of Asylum.
Such a beautiful game.
Is that part of the collection? Let me see.
It is, yeah.
Yes, the Return to Arkham collection. So I think it puts together Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. Origins, you might struggle to get. You're probably best getting on Xbox 360 or PS3. But yeah, no, this looks really good. Did you watch the gameplay trailer, the pre-alpha stuff as well?
I did, yes. I liked Batgirl's bike. That was cool.
Oh, that looked really good. That looks so good.
There's one aspect that I'm not all too keen on, and that's the leveling.
The damage stuff, yeah.
So you level up as a character, and apparently the enemies level up
in scale.
Scale along with it, which I'm not too keen on that.
What's the point in leveling up then?
Well, I don't think the
just for abilities or
presumably. I don't know.
Presumably abilities.
They've not shown that stuff off.
Yeah, I mean, with the looks of it, I've got the feeling it might be similar to Marvel's Avengers, and I'm kind of hoping not. That's the one aspect that I'm kind of like, I'm really hoping.
They mentioned, because obviously they came to a Mr. Freeze fight, didn't they? And it mentioned in that if you're level 5 or, say, 15, Freeze would act differently, like be able to defend certain things, or they would have different moves. And I don't know what to think about that. Because even if I level up to like level 15, I still might, if he becomes better, I might really struggle.
Yeah.
Even though I might be leveled up with all these abilities, it doesn't mean I will be able to use them. I might not have the skill to be able to use all these techniques.
I wonder if it'd be interesting that like as you level up, you unlock so new gadgets and stuff. And then depending on what you've unlocked, maybe boss fights are structured around the limitations of what you got. So, like, I don't know, for example, I don't know, say you had some sort of, like, grenade or something that you can unlock in later levels, and then you could use it to throw a freeze, but then, like, he could, say, freeze them before it reaches them or something sometimes. But then if you didn't have them, he wouldn't be doing that sort of thing. Maybe it just has different playstyle depending on what you have at that time, potentially.
Although in that instance, what would be the point of having the grenades if you could do that?
But that's it. Like, you have to... It could be that you have to distract him somehow, and then you can use the grenades.
This is the thing, though, isn't it? It's just like... It's
It's all from interpretation.
So that means there'll be no individual strategy. I like boss fights where they just like, you just have a strategy, you know what to do. Whereas this seems like it's going to be very random about how you take down.
Anyway. I mean, that might be a good thing.
But as I mentioned that, if you're leveling it up and you're, like, you're getting all these different gadgets and abilities, you might not necessarily know how to use them all. I said that when I unlocked all the abilities in the previous Arkham games, there's a lot of stuff I never used. Because I just ended up just mashing the square button just to kick him behind it.
Square button to win.
But might have used the grapple lever once in a while. But I barely actually used many of the things. Do you know the challenges where you have to maybe there's something like 10 different gadget things in one combo or something like that.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, well, I'm never even going to bother trying that because I know I won't be able to do it. And if this is going to try and force me into that kind of thing, I'm going to struggle.
I don't think it'll force you. We'll just have to wait and see once we'll be a little bit more about it, because it's not massively clear how it's going to be implemented.
Apart from that, I did like the look of it.
Oh, I look at it as well.
It looked like it fit very well into the previous games.
Yeah. Yeah, it did mention that this was an original Batman universe story. This isn't linked to the Arkham games at all. Even though it feels like it does.
It just sort of feels like,
initially, it feels like it, but then they mentions that, like...
If you've not played the previous games, obviously I won't mention anything, but it kind of feels like it should finish from the previous ones, but apparently it's not.
It feels like it, but...
So, also, you'd probably need to play the other games for the backstory, maybe, but you don't necessarily need to for this.
Not even for the backstory. It's, I think it's separate from what are the Arkham games... set up.
It seems like it might be following on, but apparently it's not.
It's not, no. Okay. You don't need to play the previous games to get what
you should. You should play those games. But that wasn't the only Batman-related game, was it, that got announced last night?
No, it was, well,
I say...
Was it last night? It was more this morning for us, I think.
DC-related shelter.
Yes, the new game from Rocksteady, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
This seems to be going in a different path, isn't it? To Rocksteady's previous ones. It's a bit more lighthearted. Well,
you say lighthearted. I mean, there's a part in that trailer until that's not lighthearted at all. It's a bit brutal.
I think in terms of the characters that you control, well, I imagine you're going to be controlling. It's a bit more fun, isn't
it? So, I mean, this is going to be focusing on, obviously, the Suicide Squad. There is... four of them, the ever present in every DC media nowadays, Harley Quinn. And then we got Deadshot.
She looks remarkably like Margot Robbie, I found. Now, whether that's intentional, I don't know.
I imagine it will be, because everybody, when they see Margot Robbie, they just think...
There must be some sort of licensing thing, though, isn't there? You know, people's likenesses.
It's Lindsay Lohan all over again.
Maybe it's me just seeing it, I don't know. I thought she actually did kind of...
She still looked like the Harley Quinn in the Arkham games, though. I thought she did, anyway.
I thought she looked a bit different. I thought she looked more like...
I
saw the thumbnail on the video. I thought that was a live-action shot of Margot Robbie. I'm like, Margot Robbie. What? They hired her to get like a cinematic, trailer or something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right, well, yeah, so we'll go back. So, yeah, you can play as Harley Quinn. There was Deadshot, who looks different to what I remember. There's a reason why I say this, so I'll just kind of carry on. The King Shark, who seems to be getting favoritism from everywhere nowadays, ever since he appeared in the Flash TV series, I think. And then the last one was Captain Boomerang. I mean, the story looks as though Brainiac's come in and taken over Metropolis, and you'll have to end up fighting his minions that's coming out. And then there was in the trailer, there was a mention that they had an alpha target to go after, and they weren't sure who it was. And then as they were discussing that, the good old Boy Scout Superman comes in to what you think is save the day by saving a pilot.
Yeah, saves the day, and then, well, it all goes south, doesn't it?
Yeah, he ruins the day, really. Kind of
Kills the mood.
Yeah, kills the mood and the pilot. Yeah. Along with that.
Yeah.
and it looks as though he might be controlled by Brainiac, and everyone but Captain Boomerang seems to know who the Alpha Target is now, which is interesting.
So no gameplay.
No gameplay. No. And announced there was 2022.
I was going to say, this seems like it could be a way off.
It is a way off. Even though they've had a long time to develop this.
Well, I don't think I'd want both of these games to come near each other anyway. So.
No, if they came out near, it'd be a bit of a bad marketing ploy.
Yeah.
The little bit of information I've actually got about the actual game is that it can be played single player, but you will have all four characters available at once. So if you're controlling one of them, the other three will be bots playing with you, or you can play it with three others. So it's a four-player co-op open world in Metropolis, from what I've read.
Actually, going back to Gotham Knights, there's like a drop-in thing with that, isn't there, where you can play as someone else?
Yeah, so with Gotham Knights, it will be single player, or you can play co-op, online co-op with it, so someone else can be whoever you're not playing as. I don't think two people can be like the same person. I think you have to
accept. Yeah.
But I mean, it looks very interesting, and I think they did confirm this is actually part of the Arkhamverse that Rockstar were in. So
looks good then. I do like it. It's interesting to have two games and neither of them actually controlling Batman in either of them.
Well, supposedly.
Well, we shall see. DLC.
DLC, Batman comes alive. I want to play as Alfred.
Yeah. Where's Alfred? Smashing with a tray or something. Yeah. I mean, in the Gotham TV series, he's you know.
Oh, he's a
He can dish out a good punishment. Dish out a good punishment, can he?
Oh, we don't mess with Alfred in that.
Well, another thing in Gotham that we forgot to mention was the Court of Owls rumour appeared to be true.
Yes, yeah, I forgot about them. They look scary.
Yeah, they look a bit freaky, don't they?
Just a bit freaky, and it looks like there's a lot of talons. So, or at least from the shot of the, you know, the all the caskets that were hanged up, the frozen containers. Looks like there could be quite a few talons in this game.
Mm.
Should be interesting.
Also, a lot to look forward to from DC. Anybody have any other news?
Yes. So Ubisoft have come out and said they will be no longer providing physical discs for their collector's editions. This is only for Xbox. So if you buy collector's edition for any of Ubisoft's upcoming Xbox games, you will receive a code instead of a disc. But for PlayStation, you'll still get a disc with your collector's edition. This includes games that have already been announced, so Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legion, and Far Cry 6. So, that's the thing that's happening now.
Why this has just been Xbox?
I'm not sure why.
It seems a bit weird.
A bit of me thinks that maybe Xbox is trying to push people to the digital side more than PlayStation.
Let's tell you what I want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want, is I want games, right? You get a game digitally. You get a game physically.
Yeah.
You work it in, and it normally, like, it like downloads a certain amount, doesn't it? And then you have to keep the disc in to play the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. I want an option on the game to allow me to either do that, so I can save amount of space, or download the whole thing to the console,
so I can use it
digitally.
That would be cool.
Let me have the best of both worlds.
I'm surprised they've not done this before, because I think obviously when you got the disc in, it has to download the extra content that either the disc can hold or whatnot, and then the disc acts as like a key that you need to be able to play the game. But I never why can't we just download the whole thing? We have the we bought the license for it.
Just give me an option where I stick it in. Just say, do you want to do half the download and keep the disc in it, or just allow me to full Because if you're like running low on, if you're running low on space,
yeah,
then you could keep it like on the, using the disc versions. Just allow me to get it straight on console.
I mean, I can like, imagine why they don't do it for, they wouldn't do that for games like Red Dead 2, for example, because you've got two discs there. You've got the installation disc and then the play disc. But
No, you can still do that because you can still download it digitally, can't you?
Oh, yeah, you can still download it digitally, just, yeah.
So allow me to do that.
That's what I do.
It shouldn't be any difference the amount of a disc there are. Just allow me to install the whole thing if I want to. Because if I download it digitally, it's still going to take that amount, isn't it?
Mm.
So it won't make a difference. Get it. I think trying to get all these innovations in games, and I just think this is something that's completely been missed.
Yeah, there's certain quality of life things.
Because I like having physical things, right? There's games that I like having the physical things, and I want to have the physical thing. But the sort of games that I'd like to just like pop in and out of, and I don't want to keep getting up and down and putting the disc in. It's things like FIFA.
Right?
I regularly, in and out playing clubs with you two, But I don't want to keep getting up and down putting the disc in all the time. I'd like to have that physical version. It's just allow me to install it and then play it digitally. I don't understand why this is so difficult for people now.
This is why I dread when you guys are like, let's play GTA 5. Like, oh, I'm gonna get the disc.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna find the disc.
No, they want us to buy it twice, don't they? That's the thing. I just hate that aspect. I mean, we're gonna be forced to buy GTA 5 again late next year.
Yeah.
So, GTA 6 ain't coming for like another 4 years at least, maybe something like that.
I would love insanity. It if they like surprise launched that game. That'd be like on brand for Rockstar. Just be like, oh, here's GTA 5.
Do you know
here's
what I think?
GTA 6.
Do you know what I think though? I think we'll come to a crossroads in terms of GTA. I don't think we're going to get any other games in the same vein as we've seen the previous ones.
What, like, do you mean the story-driven side of it?
I think it's going to be fully, like games as a service.
Just a sandbox.
Games online sort of thing. And I think it's going to evolve some sort of online thing. And that technically is going to be GTA 6. But it's going to be an online thing. That's what I think is going to happen.
Mm.
Because I think they've seen how much money is made by doing that sort of thing. And there's been talk of, who was it? There was one of the heads from Rockstar who left a few years ago. I don't think he liked the way the company was going. And recently it was announced, do you know Laszlo?
He's left, yeah.
He's recently left after being there for like 20 years. He's been doing different work there over the years.
Mm.
He's left now. And it's why is he left then? It's just, it seems odd that these people seem to be leaving now. These really creative people who started all this. I'm kind of worried about how GTA is going to go now. Because I just don't think it's going to be the same ever again.
I think if they were to do that, I don't know if I'd buy it or not. I mean, I'd like it for the experience because we can do it. We can go on there together. But if what you're saying is true and it's basically just going to be an online-based game, you create your character and then you have to flow through the game doing like missions as yourself, for example, and you get to choose more of a narrative. But it's going to be a bit barer in terms of story. Then I don't know if I'd be up for that.
Yeah, I think it's just like online story missions where you level your character, that kind of thing.
Because I like RPGs and I like to be able to make decisions in games. But I also like seeing other people's paths as well and their points of view and how they go about their story.
Not unless they keep it separate. Like, they could do what it looks as though Call of Duty is doing at the moment, where you've got Warzone, it's separate from Modern Warfare. You don't need Modern Warfare to play it. It's a free download. But they keep updating it, and it looks as though at the moment they're updating it to, in effect, change it to how Cold War's version is going to be. Because I think now Warzone's a separate thing that's just going to expand depending on like what kind of Call of Duty's come out. They could effectively do the same with GTA Online. Because I think, didn't they mention that GTA Online is going free?
Yes.
It's going standalone. So they could
This is the thing that made me think that this is the way it's going to be. The fact that they've done that.
No, but they can keep this, have GTA Online, but still start creating separate single player, you know, narrative experiences. You can have is GTA it, 6 away from GTA Online.
Is it worth
GTA
it
Online.
To do if there's no online?
Well, GTA Online makes money. A new GTA 6 is what people who wanted, you know, the single player DLC for GTA 5 clamored for. Like, I would play GTA 6 if it was didn't have any online stuff. Just keep GTA Online separate.
Yeah, but are they going to put the invest their time and resources into it? That's the point. Or are they just going to pump more into the online?
Well,
culture?
They've got plenty of resources. That's the amount of money they made from GTA Online.
Well, they want to keep that money. They don't want to spend that money.
Well, that's it. I don't think they will kill off GTA Online unless they made a new version of it.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's GTA. This is my thought is that GTA 6 will be basically just a new GTA Online set somewhere else. Basically, that's why I think it will be. I hope it's not, of course.
I don't think it will, because, like, I mean, when GTA 5 came out, it was the best-selling game at that point. If they announced GTA 6, well, it's still even with the online stuff. But GTA 6, people just want the new thing. It would be the biggest game again, I think.
But would they make it? I don't know.
If they'll have money, they will.
Time will tell. And we'll see
you in another 5 years.
In 5 years, yeah. We'll come back to this in 5 years' time.
Anyway, there's been a leak saying that we're on the cusp of a Nintendo Direct. Now, there's been false dawns before, but we're roughly a year from the last one that we had, the last proper full Direct. So, personally, I hope it's going to happen. And there's been a lot of talk about what might be released. And what day it's going to be on. So a lot of people think it's going to be on the 28th of August. So the Friday coming up. I mean, personally, from my point of view, I'm hoping for some Breath of the Wild 2 information because I'm really looking forward to that. Metroid Prime 4, looking forward to that as well. There was actually a posting on Amazon for a remake of Skyward Sword on the Switch, so I'm hoping they can announce that as well and say, right, it's ready, go and buy it. That'd be pretty cool. And there's a few other things. I want a Switch Pro at this point, because with Xbox and PlayStation and their new consoles looming, I do think that the Switch needs an upgrade, because they're not going to be able to bring over the AAA titles unless they do light versions, like they've done with FIFA, for example. So it uses the old engine. It's like a legacy edition. And I don't like that. I want a full version, if possible.
Yes.
What do you reckon, Matt?
I hope they don't do light versions, because FIFA is a very bad example of one that's on the Switch.
Yeah.
I mean, the overall news, I'd love to see more on Breath of the Wild 2, because I think the first one is absolutely my favorite Zelda game. Metroid Prime, I've not played a Metroid Prime, unfortunately. I'd like to see if they could bring the... because they did like a trilogy one on the Wii. It's the Wii or the Wii U?
The Wii, yeah.
The Wii, but I fell off Nintendo consoles between GameCube and Switch. So, I mean, I'd like to see news on Prime 4, that one keeps on getting delayed and delayed all the time, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more about those. There was rumored sometime, I think it was early this year, that like this is like the, I'm gonna get this wrong, I think it's the 35th anniversary of Mario, I think.
Yeah, is what you're gonna follow on to is the remasters for Mario 64, Sunshine, and Galaxy.
Yeah, so there's news about they were going to do, remasters of 64, Sunshine, and I don't know if it's both Galaxy games. I think about just the first one, but they were going to come to the Switch, and then like there's going to be a lot more focus on Mario this year, because they've finished the theme park in Japan that I'd love to go to. I think, yeah. Oh, it's close enough finished. Super Mario World, I think it's called. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'd like to see more about that, and then just any more Nintendo news. I think it's between like all the like they had an indie world direct one this week as well, I think. Was this week? Might have been a week prior.
Yeah, I think it might have been late last week.
You know, there's focus on those games. They look pretty cool. I like looking at Untitled Goose Game, getting a co-op mode itself. I'd love to play that. But yeah, just aim on Nintendo News. Just give me.
Yeah, give me that stuff.
Yeah.
Just one more bit of news, a bit close to home, actually. Oh. Is the National Video Game Museum reopened yesterday as of recording, so on the 22nd of August. Now, that's in Sheffield in the UK. It's not been the smoothest of rides over the last few months for the museum. They did have to open a GoFundMe page to keep running. And luckily enough, it made 251% of its of the amount that it needed. So that's great. And it managed to stay open. Mm-hmm. And it reopened again yesterday. With that, they've put a few new rules in there. So you've got to pre-book just to make sure that the right amount of people are going in there. And that you're not wasting your time queuing, for example, which is good. Face masks are a must. So you do need to bring a face mask with you. The exhibits and consoles are all taped off so that you know how far away you need to be from a console while somebody else is playing if you do need to wait. And there is a queuing system. So if somebody is playing a console, you just need to wait behind the tape until somebody's finished, and then you can go and play slash look at any exhibits that you want to. And then there's also hand sanitizing stations. So before you play a game, you've got to sanitize your hands, then you can play. So I think they've done really well in terms of just making it accessible in this time and just basically keeping it ticking over, really. And I think it's important for Sheffield as a city and the country to keep it going, because it's kind of one of the meccas for video games in the UK. Because I think in comparison to some other countries, we don't really have as much and we don't shout about it as much as we really should do. But it's a fantastic thing to have, and it's a really enjoyable afternoon just to go in there and play some games. And I'm really glad it's back.
Yeah, because we've been...
Yep.
Over the past few months, we've been observing from afar, seeing like how it's getting on, and it's been touch and go, hasn't it? About when it's
pretty much.
There was a period of time where it looked like, oh, this is it. This is going to be closed, and we'll lose something quite important, because we don't, as you say, in Britain, we don't really shout much about this sort of thing in terms of our gaming history, even though we've got a proud gaming history. You know, in Britain, but as you say, we don't have many places to. Where you can actually go and see that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's good that, and for us personally, it's very close to home. So it's nice that it's still there. So that's a positive thing.
We'll have to make a trip soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Okay. Another question.
We do. Yes. So, what's your favourite vehicle in gaming?
Well, there's one that immediately sprung to mind for me, and that's the Normandy from the Mass Effect trilogy. I love the Normandy. It's a fantastic ship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really cool design as well. It's like, it's kind of like, it's got like,
it's very sleek.
Bongs or something. Yeah. And like pointy.
Yeah.
And like an arrow. Bongs at the top. You don't get to drive it, unfortunately. But.
That's a portion.
But I love being on that ship and just like having it filled with like all your favorite people, like all the group that you're amassed, and like you can go and just chat to every person and just doss about on there, basically. I just used to go there all the time. After every mission, I'd just go back to the Normandy and just like walk around, just try to chat to everyone, just to see if they've got anything else to say to me. And even if they hadn't, I still enjoyed it, because I just liked being back there and just being around all those people. Well, that was the one that immediately sprung to mind for me.
For me, there was actually a couple. I thought about this in a couple of different ways. So firstly, I was like, right, what's my favourite?
You thought of the question in a different way last time as well.
I know I did. It's actually a vehicle, so don't worry. Because originally I was going to say Maxwell, but it's not really a vehicle, is he? It's just a horse that dies all the time. No.
I think that's acceptable.
I'd accept it.
Anyway, I picked another one.
It's a way of travelling, isn't it?
My favourite vehicle in gaming, the game in particular was Need for Speed Underground 2. And the vehicle is a Peugeot 106. Vroom, vroom.
Oh, Oh, tasty.
Yeah. So that it was like a rags to riches story for me.
You carry on. I'm going to look what that looks like.
Yeah. Well, it looks like crap.
It looks like a car.
Yeah. Anyway, it was like a rags to riches story, and it was.
I can see why you like that.
It had like a horrible colour when it started, and eventually I did some races, got a new paint job, got new wheels, upgraded the engine, got a neon on the bottom of it, and got some sponsorship deals, and eventually it was just an absolute beast, and no one could touch it. It was like a boy racer's dream.
Pimp my Persia.
Yeah, that's it. I got pimped to hell. It was great. And I just loved putting it all together, because it was mine and I could do whatever I wanted to it, basically. And I think when I was about 11 or 12 years old when I first played it, I was like, yeah, one day I'm going to have a car just like this.
Ambitious?
Well, 16 years later, no car at all. Yeah. So, yeah, the dream's not been realised just yet, but yeah, maybe one day.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, that's it. When I'm 40 years old,
get like, the Peugeot 106.
Peugeot 106.
Everyone else gets like a Porsche or something.
Mine would be a Porsche.
I'm just there doing donuts in Asda car park. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my favourite. A bit underwhelming in comparison to yours, Mark.
I quite like that. You've gone with something quite standard.
Yeah.
But as you say, you made it your own. So I think that's.
I really thought Nathan would actually do this. Like, he always used to take the questions, like, thinks sort of outside the box on them. right, mine. One immediately springs to mind when I heard this question, but I thought of a second one as well that's kind of fought quite equally for it, so I'll go to. So my immediate first pick is the Warhawk from Halo. Yeah. Which immediately I knew would immediately hit.
I know a lot of people like it, but I didn't.
I love the Warg. There's just so much fun to have it. I have driving in it, falling over in it, flipping cars and killing Marines with it. Or accidentally killing Marines with it. And then, like, it got a bit disappointing once I got into Halo 2, because, like, it stopped being immortal, effectively, so you could actually destroy them. So they started getting a little bit disappointing as you go on through the Halos. So this is kind of like where my second pick kind of snuck in, because I knew the Warg, I started not liking it as much from after Halo 1. So if I was to have a second pick, and this might be a bit controversial to some people, but I really liked the Batmobile from Batman Arkham Knight.
It's cool. I do like it. I just thought it was overused in the game.
It is a little overused.
It's like we've made this incredible vehicle. Now we're just going to insert it into some puzzles that it logically doesn't make much sense to have them in.
Yeah. The logic around the use of the actual Batmobile is a bit strange. In that, like, oh, we're going to have some Riddler puzzles around having to use the Batmobile and then also being out of the Batmobile.
Yeah,
And then remote controlling the Batmobile.
The challenge that comes to mind when I think about that is the one where you've got to, like, hook the Batmobile up and you've got to reverse backwards down a hole.
Yeah, I know what it is.
And then you've got to spin, like, cylinders or something to line up.
Yeah, so you've got to line up, like, the like a power grid thing, so it gets power to opening some of the doors, I think.
It's like, so the Riddler is specifically designed that challenge specifically for that car.
it's like the Riddler somehow knew that you were going to use this car to do these challenges somehow, so he designed it. Yeah, I will admit, like, a lot of the Riddler challenges that based around the Batmobile is,
yeah, it's like, how on earth did he even design, like, these things and build?
Well, it's even the racetracks underneath Gotham. What's that about? Why are you making a racetrack
underground?
You push a button in the Batmobile, apparently you can make, like,
things move, and one opens,
one closes.
Yeah, so you've got like a red color and a green color, and they'll unlock bridges for each color, or doors, or pillar, I don't know. The actual logic behind it is terrible.
It's amazing how one man can build all of them.
Yeah, where did he get the money from? But I think it's just being able to drive around Gotham City in the Batmobile and absolutely just anything gets in your way is absolute gone once you drive into it.
The entrance of the Batmobile in that game in Arkham Knight is fantastic. That way you just stood above you're like on a railing on like a building or a railing above Arkham. And then it sort of like says, was it? I can't remember the button, but it says press something to even the odds. It doesn't say to call the Batmobile. It says to even the odds.
Yeah, so I think it was like R1 or something. Like you're meant to glide down and then press R1 and like you see Batman drop. And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool, Superman pose. And here's where the Batmobile just rolls in and like...
Yeah, it looks like he's about to be run over.
Yeah. It always looks like he's getting run over by the Batmobile. Somehow it doesn't. And somehow it doesn't catch his cape when he gets in.
I have to say, he must have killed people with that vehicle. I don't know how the game pretends that he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the worst person of all.
Rubber bullets.
No, well, that's what it said, really. It's rubber bullets that shoot. Yeah, like the rubber bullets. And then all the tanks are drone operated. So you can get as violent as you want with the tanks.
There's also those bits where you take down an enemy and then you can remote controls. So it looks like the vehicle's going, like the wheels going over the person's head. I'm like threatening them.
Yeah.
It's like he's killed a few people in the way.
Yeah.
I don't care what you tell me, game, you've killed people.
I mean, you certainly do when you get as the Joker later on. That was pretty violent, but I think it's just for like a first proper attempt at having traversal around Gotham City in the Batmobile. I think it did pretty well.
It was a cool vehicle. Yeah, it is really cool.
I thought it controlled really well as well.
The tank mode was cool as well. That way, that
I dodge, really liked the tank mode. Dodge function. The dodge function and then like being able to hack the other drone tanks so they'll fight for you. I thought the whole thing was really done well. I think the only thing that's bad of it is obviously the moments with the Riddler. Somehow having the mindset of I'm going to design these traps around the Batmobile. It's like, why would you do that?
Just to use every single function that we seem to have implemented in your Batmobile.
Yeah. And that's the only disappointing part of it. But I think, I think overall it was really nice. And just...
Yeah, it was good.
I love every time you go full speed and then when you got the upgrade to just shoot Batman up into the air and you just fly.
The glass.
That was so cool. Nice.
Yeah.
That felt so good. Yeah, so my choice is Warthog on Halo and the Batmobile from Arkham Knight.
I'd like to have a special mention to the jetpack from San Andreas.
Oh, yeah. That was cool. Know that cheat. L1, R1, R2. Up, down, left, right, up, down, left, right, is it?
I can't remember, but I just like it thinking, when you just think it from the airbase.
Mm.
And then you just shoot straight upwards, like up this massive tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's like, look at me with your jetpack. And then you just rain fire from above.
Yeah, that's it. Just go on top of a building.
Yeah.
5 stars, ain't got anything on you. Yeah. Just there with rocket launcher, just taking stuff out. Yeah, it's awesome.
Good fun.
Yeah. So that's the question of the pod. We post our questions on social media on Wednesdays, and you can find us if you look for Joking Dolphin. So look out for that.
Mm.
Nice one.
So, what have we been playing? Do you want to start first, Nath?
Yeah, sure. So I've been continuing playing Spyro the Reignited Trilogy. I'm on to the second Spyro game now. And I didn't really speak about this too much when I first talked about the Reignited Trilogy, but it's like playing the game as a new player all over again, even though I've played the original trilogy on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
They've just managed to bring the entire world of Spyro to life in a way, because as you go through the game, there's different worlds you go to. And when I was younger, I don't know whether it's because of my naivety, but I didn't see the world as having their own like type of dragons or their own little quirks.
Oh, yeah.
But as I've played this again, it's really brought everything to life for me, and it's like seeing the game in colour. It's just amazing. I mean, I know you've not played the Spyro games before, Mark, but if you are going to play them, I'd probably say skip the original three, go straight to the Reignited Trilogy, because they are fantastic. The platforming holds up really well. You might have a bit of difficulty with the camera at the start, because that's still a bit wild at times. though it is a lot better than it was on the original Spyro games. But yeah, that's been fantastic. Other than that, FIFA and Fall Guys as normal. Always good fun. Another game that I have played, it was actually one of the PS Plus games a few months ago, is Erica.
I've had mixed reactions at all.
I had the same, to be honest. Now, I will say this uses the touchpad on the PS4 controller in the most innovative way that I've ever seen on a game. You pretty much exclusively just use the touchpad to play through the entire game. So you play as Erica, and originally when I started playing, you're in this big house with your dad, and I thought, oh my god, these graphics are absolutely amazing. And it turns out it's all live action, so it's all recorded. And due to like the light and everything, I thought, oh, this looks fantastic. And it was only on the second bit of it that I put the pieces together, like, oh, it's all recorded. I mean, it didn't take anything away from it. If anything, it just brought me into it a bit more. But you use the touchpad to do things like rubbing dust off certain objects, pointing in the direction that you want to go, drawing, just anything that you do need to do within the game, you'd use the touchpad to do. And it's an RPG as you go through, so you control Erica and you decide what she does and which direction she goes in, because there are multiple endings to this game, is why I gave it a second playthrough, and there's still a couple more endings that I need to explore. It's only a couple of hours per playthrough, so if you've got a bit of time spare, it's really nice game to go through. I don't want to go into the story too much if you guys want to play it, but it really goes into the it's really quirky. It goes into the occult slightly. And about Erica's past and what happens to her mother, and it can go in lots of different directions, and I really enjoyed it. It can be quite dark at times as well in terms of the tones, but yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think it's probably worth 2 hours of anybody's time just for the way it controls, really, just to give it a go. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Other than the usual sessions of FIFA and Fall Guys, which I won 2 crowns on last night, so I'm very happy.
Oh, nice one.
They're all on Fall Mountain as well. I won Hexagon once, and I just can't win anything else.
The other night I came second in Hexagon, and I was distraught yet again. That's twice I've got second.
I got to second Saturday. I was playing on PC, and I was on the level above the bottom one, but I had loads of like tiles left, and I spotted the guy. He was like running out. I was like, I've got this easy. Tried to make like one easy jump, failed. I was like, what? Why? Other than those two, kind of following on from the last podcast of my love of the favorite villain, I've been playing Borderlands 2. Went through that again. It's just as fun as I remember playing it the first time around, just solo. It's just such a good game. Completed that, started doing the DLC for that, because there's a heck ton of DLC for Borderlands 2, so gonna go through that. And then other than that, pretty much all week, I bought a game on Saturday on the PC that is called Satisfactory. Don't know if you guys have heard of it before.
I've not.
I don't know that one.
So it's a first person, almost sort of like an exploratory game where you've kind of got your hub, and the premise of the game is that you go to find resources where you end up kind of creating sort of like a conveyor belt maze of like a factory, in effect, where you kind of gain resources, you gotta conveyor them into like a smelter, get those into like a conveyor to make parts, then you end up like upgrading your hub, and then as you kind of go further into the world, you find more resources or more stuff and upgrading stuff. I'd say it's quite a relaxing of a game. I play it with a mate of mine. It's co-op at the moment. It's still in early access, but I was really enjoying it. Right up until I went into a cave and found things that I don't like.
With spiders?
In my with spiders.
There's no getting away from them, is there?
No.
They're everywhere.
To actually link into the last podcast as well, though, Satisfactory has an arachnophobia mode as well.
Oh, does it?
But it does it differently, whereas, like, these aren't giant spiders, which would scare the bejesus out of me. They're, like, kind of, they're smallish, but they scuttle along the ground, so they make that, like, spider move that's
they're
really...
the worst ones.
yeah, the worst ones. So I decided to try the arachnophobia mode, because I wanted to see how they were, like, without it, and no. So I tried the mode, and what it does is... Rather than like how grounded does it wear, like it reduces the look of the spider. Mm-hmm. Instead, they just put like a glitched cat's face over it on top. Right. So you just see this like that's you just brilliant. See this like cat.
To me, that's
cat head scarier. Coming towards you.
Yeah. Cat's going
it's just
around.
A cat's
that just
face.
That doesn't
like,
look normal.
It's just like it's just an image of a cat you just see kind of coming towards you, and then it makes like cat noise instead of like the hissing stuff it does. And it's quite relaxing just to hit them now. And you can see them from a mile off because you see this cat face just like glitched somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be worse for me.
I love it. If Grounded has something like this or implements something like this, I'd play. Just see a massive cat face coming towards you. Right, well, that's what I've been playing. Oh, go on, Nathan. Sorry.
Sorry, no, I forgot that Mark had a go yet. Sorry, Mark, go on.
I've got into a bit of simulator mode at the moment, so I've been playing Farming Simulator 19, which was free on PS Plus quite a few months ago.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I finally got into it, and me and my brother online started building our own farm. But we started using the mods because we were hemorrhaging money, basically. So we managed to like took all the cotton off a field, and then we didn't know what to do with it after that. So we just ended up buying every item we possibly could, ran out of money. So we thought, right, we'll restart this. But there's a mod, you can use mods in it.
So, oh, wow.
I downloaded one called Government Subsidy. So basically you stick a sign on your farm, mm-hmm. and every hour you accumulate 100 grand.
Sweet.
So just stick a load of them on the farm, away we go.
Raking money. You don't even need to be a farm. You can just be a sign farm.
Yeah. So I like 15 signs, like in a little pen. And then it was basically a case of all gear, no idea. So we just bought everything and we just didn't know what to do with any of it. So we just built the farm. We had a few fields. I accidentally managed to destroy one of the fields as I was trying to level it out. So we've lost an entire field of sunflowers. So my fault. Still not managed to actually earn any money. we've accumulated money.
Have you managed to get to the coast yet? Did you go around and explore it all?
I have done. I've gone and seen the lighthouse, things like that. You can't jump in the sea, unfortunately. That's why I tried to do that. Just see. Oh. But there was a skeleton of a dinosaur for some reason. I don't understand what that was.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that was a bit random. I've gone around on the choo-choo train.
Easter egg, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, that's what I've done on Farming Simulator. So, as I say, I still don't know how to farm properly, but I've built a farm.
Well, all we know now is that farmers are doing it wrong. Don't raise livestock, just put some signs in
there and
get that government subsidy.
Yeah. And you two will know that I've been on my holidays over the past week. I went for a nice trip. Yeah, one of those. But when I was away, I went to the zoo.
Nice.
When I went there, I was like, ooh, I really fancy playing the game around the zoo. So when I came back home, I played Planet Zoo.
I knew you said
that. Which I've had for a while, but I've never got around to actually playing. But this just really made me want to do it. So I've done the three tutorial levels. So this is from Frontier Developments, who did the Jurassic World.
Jurassic World and Planet Coaster
Evolution.
As well.
Yes. Which I've still not played that either. But Jurassic World Evolution, I think, is fantastic. Love that. I've completed that.
I need to get back into that.
Yeah, it's really good. As I say, completed that. So I was really looking forward to playing this. I really liked Zoo Tycoon. when it came out previously.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So, yeah, I've done the three tutorial levels on this.
Mm.
It's a lot more in-depth than Zoo Tycoon. There's one thing I don't... There's one thing that annoys me about it, is like trying to keep your animals happy. It can be quite a task to try and keep your animals happy. And it's mainly it's like due to like the terrain. It's like they've got like one grain of sand too much.
They don't oh, they're like, picky, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'd tell them to bugger off.
That's something in Jurassic World Evolution, isn't it?
Yeah,
so you have to keep the dinosaurs happy, but sometimes it can be based on trend there as well.
Yeah, the good thing about that is that you can have them eat each other. You can't do that.
If you're not happy, you're getting eaten.
Yeah.
Have some of this T-Rex.
It's like, if any of the dinosaurs just annoyed you, just pick them up, plonk them in. But T-Rex, there you go.
Yeah.
I've had
off
it.
You pop.
I don't need to buy you any food now. There you go.
Like, oh, my llama's not happy with the amount of straw it's got on its pen. Lions.
Yeah.
Lions.
Could you do that? I don't know, actually.
Lions.
Maybe you could do it.
Try it.
Yeah.
Actually, let's do some experimentation and stream it. See what animals we can get to kill each other.
Murder zoo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Murder zoo simulator.
But yeah, it's a really good game. But as I say, I've only done the tutorial things, so it's like things that have been guided. So when I start doing my own thing, maybe it's going to be like farming, and I'm just going to hemorrhage in all my money, and all the animals will escape, and things like that. So we'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And lastly, I've been playing the Marvel's Avenger Open Beta.
It was
this weekend.
Yes.
Thoughts? It's fine.
It's fine.
Some characters I enjoyed playing as more than others. I didn't particularly like playing as Thor. I didn't think he was very good. I didn't particularly like playing as Kamala Khan.
Oh wow.
It's just the controls just feel a bit clunky because Kamala Khan has like a swinging mechanic. So you can jump, like, stretch your arms and swing on a light, let's say, a light in the air or something. And I'd do it, and just, like, sometimes the prompts wouldn't appear, so I just end up falling to my death. And it's like, now that should have appeared then. Now, obviously, this is, you know, a beta. You know, maybe these are things that can be fixed, but I can only go on what's happening. I loved playing as Hulk, though. Hulk was great to play as. He's really good.
Oh, really? Wow.
Gosh, yeah, that feels really good. It's like you do feel sort of, well, not indestructible because it can still be taken down.
You've got a health bar.
But you can do a lot of damage and things like that. And you can like grab people and like smack other people with him and things like that. It's got like the thunderclap thing. It's pretty good.
Oh, cool.
And you can jump in the air, do your smash and all that kind of stuff. Yep. Bounces on walls. So you can like, there's a bit in the opening bridge section where you can like jump and you jump in between trucks and things like that.
Yeah,
that's how you get across like large gaps, basically. That's cool.
Wait, does Hulk like wall run?
Wall jump, I'd say.
Wall jump. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to imagine the Hulk wall running. Like, what the?
Yeah, it's more like a wall jump. Yeah, you can jump pretty high. But yeah, for me, best character to play as
Hulk. Okay.
I wasn't a fan of playing as Iron Man. That felt a bit
interesting.
Although maybe that might have been the controls when you're flying, because when it comes to flying, I kind of like inverted. You know, so you pull down, you go up.
Yeah.
Whereas the controls on Iron Man here was just like you push down, you go down, and that kept putting me off.
That's perfect for me. I always get confused with inverted controls sometimes.
Yeah, it's only in terms of up flying and up and down that I want that. Everything else, I just want to be the same. But yeah. Oh, Black Widow. I kind of like playing as Black Widow. That's quite cool. But yeah, so it's got the opening like 20, 25 minute. You know, the thing
starting,
we've seen.
Yeah.
The thing we've seen on
AD. Golden Bridge, isn't it?
Yeah, Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge.
It's all right. You know, it's pretty good fun. The Taskmaster battle is quite good.
Oh, yeah. The one where we Black Widow, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. So it's like you can't repeat. You have to try and alternate the attacks because he learns your attack pattern.
Oh, that's good. He does that similar in Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If you repeat the same thing, he starts learning, so it doesn't work. So you got to like really alternate him.
Yeah. So that was a bit touch and go with it because I was quite low on health by the time I came to the end of that one.
Ooh.
But managed to do it. I found it had quite a few difficulty spikes.
Mm.
There was like some fights which seemed to be quite difficult compared to other ones. It's just, I think it needs balancing a bit more. And I was playing on normal.
Okay.
And then once you've completed that, it takes you onto one of the, I can't remember what they call them now, but you know those missions where it's like, there's two of them.
Warzone?
Is it a Warzone? Is that what they were? It might be.
I think there's one that's called Warzone.
But yeah, it was that and Kamala Khan and Hulk. I wasn't really a fan of that mission, to be honest. So it's where you go into like an AIM facility.
Oh, right.
And basically you're just trying to destroy it.
Indoor missions seem to be like the worst in every game.
Yeah, I think it felt kind of restrictive in that section.
That makes sense, yeah.
But I mean, there's parts of it to like, but then it got to a section where you ended up finally using the war table.
Oh, yes.
And I think this is the bit, because after that mission, I stopped playing, but it didn't excite me to want to continue playing it, I have to say.
Oh, dear.
Because it came to, it pretty much, that's the moment where I thought, oh, yeah, this is a live service game, isn't it? When you're looking at this and I'm just imagining looking at this globe and like being dots all over the place and things like that. I mean, there's only one in this beta, well, where I am at the moment anyway.
Mm.
But I can just imagine there being lots of things on it. And I didn't really understand the upgrade menus either.
Okay.
It's like around the levels, conveniently, it seemed to have like random glowing boxes that you had to smash to get resources. And this is the sort of stuff that I don't like. So it's just like random box that I just located around in places that they shouldn't be.
And so you just take away from the immersiveness of what you're playing, having to go do that.
Yeah, it's just I just
want to. It reminds you that you're playing like an RPG.
Yeah, basically, yeah, and it's all about creating your characters and that kind of thing, and get all these resources and then turn them into something. It's just like I don't want to do that. Let me play a linear narrative. Story-driven experience. I mean, that opening Golden Gate bit, where you didn't have any of that nonsense, was good. Because you didn't have to fumble about with all that. But once you actually go onto these side missions, that's where it becomes apparent about where this game is going. I didn't like it, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. Well, I mean, there is, obviously, in the full game, there is one kind of linear story progressed campaign that's in it.
I think everything else
is side.
Yeah. I do worry about it's how big is that campaign though. I hope it's substantial because what I played, I'm not going to get this full price. I'm glad I tried it because I wanted to know what it was like.
All I've heard, I just hear negativity around it.
It's not a bad game in my view, but it's just not. It's just not what I want.
Yeah.
From that game.
Like it'd be nice if you just take one of those characters and give it like the Marvel Spider-Man treatment of like just I want a whole game around that character.
Yeah. I tell you, they've gone all out on the voice acting though.
I've heard that's good. I've heard that the voice acting is really good.
So you've got the standards, Laura Bailey, Troy Baker, and Nolan North, all are in it.
Are they?
So, yeah, they're all in it. So Laura Bailey's Black Widow. Troy Baker is Bruce Banner. Nolan North is Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Tony Stark, yeah.
Oh, that could go well.
Yeah, that's a good part of it. But if the rest of the game isn't holding up, then...
Well, I said voice acting only does so much.
Yeah. It's fine. That's all I'm really going to say. It's fine. But okay. I'm not excited, put it that way. It's just... It's a shame when you look at things like the Tomb Raider reboots and see what Crystal Dynamics have done.
Because
they were great. And then for them to be put onto this and to design it like this way, I mean, well, it's not their fault. You know, they've been told.
Well, it's how they've been directed.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a shame, really. Whereas I think if they had like free reign, they could have done something a lot better with it. Oh, one thing, though, Captain America, he's really good to play as. One of my favourite characters. Yeah. He was good.
Shame he doesn't last too long.
Well, we think.
we think.
That's my thoughts on Marvel's Avengers beaters anyway.
So, awesome.
See how that goes. Cool. Right, Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
So, as I say, we're moving to the Video Game Hall of Fame. This is where we take an in-depth look at a video game of high quality or historical importance and induct it into our pantheon of games we feel deserves special recognition. I inducted this episode was released in 1995 on the PlayStation and the PC, and also on the Saturn the following year. Developed and published by Psygnosis, it's Wipeout.
Yeah, man.
What a cool game. What a cool
game. It is. I mean, what's not to like? It's set in 2052.
Mm.
You compete in the F3600 Anti-Gravity Racing League. What's cooler than that?
So 32 years, we could be going to our own events.
Do you know what? Ooh. If we've not got this in 32 years, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, I'd love to go to one of these events. I think they'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably get killed by a stray bullet or something, but worth it.
Take a pulse to the face.
Yeah.
I loved how futuristic it felt, though. It was a really good play. I remember playing it on the PS1 and just being so excited by it because it was just like different from anything else I'd seen.
What were your first thoughts when you first played it? Because when I first played it, I didn't know you could use like L1 and R1 to do the shift.
Yeah, I was going to mention. I was like,
this is impossible to get around without banging yourself.
Yeah.
And
Wipeout is one of those games where it's easy to play but hard to master.
Yeah,
it's definitely. You can be bad at it and still have a lot of fun racing around in it. But it's, oh my word, it's hard to try and win in a races. It really is. But yeah, as I say, you've got, in order to do well in it, you've got to master the air brake.
Yeah.
In the L2 and R2. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be hitting every wall going.
Well, that's it, yeah. Because it's just such a fast pace. And with everything coming at you. When I first played it, I didn't realise there was a like a health bar as such. So I was getting round. I think I got to just after the first lap and I got blown up. I'm like, what's going on here? Because I just didn't realise my health was going down as I was getting smashed against walls, as other things were trying to shoot me. My first experience was not good. It was fun, but I just wasn't very good at it.
Yeah, I weren't, but I still really enjoyed it. I think it's probably my favourite racing series, that Wipeout. I loved that first one. What I didn't like, though, is when you get to like a narrow section and then you've got another vehicle in front of you, and you just hit it and it just like stops you. It's just like you just can't get around. It's just really annoying. This is like, I know I had the speed to get around it, but then you just like bounce off them. It's just like. Did any of you see the? Did you originally see the advertising campaign when it was launched? Because there was a bit of controversy around it. So the ad campaign was actually designed by a company called the Designers Republic, which is based in Sheffield.
Oh, cool! Yeah. Oh, nice.
And do you know the DJ Sarah Cox? She was on the poster, and on the poster is like, it looked like it was hit her and a bloke, and they were like battered and bruised, and like they had like blood running down from their nose. There was controversy around it. They thought it was like, it made it look
domestic
like
abuse. Domestic violence.
No, it was more like drug abuse.
Oh, right. Oh, that's what, okay. Yeah, with the blood from the nose.
Because this was, remember, this is like mid-90s, so it was like
rave scene.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so, well, that's, we'll get onto that, but the music is.
Yes. Yeah. That's. The music was fantastic. But yeah, as I say, there was controversy around that. And some ads were pulled from magazines or edited. But I think that just added to it, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The cool factor just went up to 11.
Yeah. I think it was the right sort of thing for its time, wasn't it? That sort
Cool,
that Cool Britannia, because it was a British game.
Yeah.
So
British developed.
I'm going to say British developed, but I liked the cover art because it was all like Japanese writing and everything. PAL version, that I think that was cool as well.
Yeah, as I mentioned on a previous podcast, that's the Omega Collection cover is my favourite because it just gave me nostalgia for that first cover. And I've not this got it down. Yeah, that's the one.
This is one I prepared early for you, Mark.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like it's a collection of all the best tracks. Lucky.
Yeah,
external. That's the on its own. That's shiny.
Yeah,
cool. For those listening on the podcast, I've just whipped out the Omega Collection.
As you mentioned earlier, the music that was cracking. That techno rave scene.
Yeah, definitely. Like electro techno style. It just pumping. Oh, it was great.
They had a band called Cold Storage did like quite a few. I think there's something like 6 or 7 tracks for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Orbital, Chemical Brothers, and Left Field. And obviously they continued with that for the rest of the games, didn't they? But
yeah.
It really pumped you up in those races, didn't it? It's fantastic. It did, yeah. Really loved it.
It's added to the excitement. Yeah. So just the breakneck speeds, the music, you're being attacked by other racers, trying to get around the tracks. It's just all merged into one great game. I think it just added everything. And it certainly for PlayStation at that time, it was really aiming for the adult market, where in the past you've got Sega and PlayStation going for like kids/teens. This was one of those games that you could probably only really appreciate if you were a bit older at the time. Otherwise, you just wouldn't have been able to do it, like me.
I think this was one of the games that it made PlayStation look cool.
I think
that's the thing. I really liked the sequels to it as well. Was it 2047? Is that what it
2048.
Called? 2048, was it?
Yeah.
But that was really good, because that just took everything that was great about this one and improved it. But
yeah. They brought that out for the PS Vita as well, 2048. It's cool. It's a good game. What are your thoughts on playing it, Matt?
Well, I have to be honest here. I didn't actually play Wipeout when it came out on the PlayStation.
I didn't play Halo until later on, so...
Yeah, I vaguely remember playing the demo for it. I'm sure there was some demo discs for PlayStation.
One of the million demo discs.
Yeah. I feel like my immediate thoughts when I first played it, it kind of put me off a little bit, because I thought, at least speed-wise, it was very quick. Like, I think probably younger me trying to play that game, I was probably just crashing into too many walls, and I was just like, F this. I don't know. Probably
it's
not even be able to set
F3600.
And I think a little bit of me was actually like, saw it as kind of like an F-Zero ripoff, unfortunately. I played the F-Zero games on Super Nintendo, and then there was the 64 one, which I thought was brilliant, the F-Zero games. Unfortunately, they stopped after a while. But yeah, I kind of saw it as like a bit of like, Sony's just trying to rip off Nintendo again. But I recently, over the last 2 weeks, I have been playing the Omega Collection, and I can see the appeal to it. Like, the speed is absolutely insane. The music's so good. Like, the music absolutely fits whatever's happening on the screen. Absolutely belongs there. I think there is like a, if you don't really master the handbrake/airbrake in that game, you are just going to be bouncing off walls.
Yeah,
so there's almost like a high difficulty point to it that you have to really learn that point. I think once you get into it, it's the game's just really nice to control and stuff. Is really fun to play. So I do feel like young Matthew missed out there, unfortunately. But no, I'd recommend this to anyone who wants to play like a really futuristic racing game. This is probably perfect for it.
I think when it originally came out, I think that sense of speed was like different to anything we'd previously seen in terms of racers.
I don't think anything other than like I don't know if F-Zero 64. I think it was F-Zero X 64. Actually, I'm not sure, but I don't know if that came before or after, but It was definitely something completely different. Like, the absolute speed that you have to go around the track is something I don't think many games really had at that point.
Yeah. So, speaking of the Omega Collection, have either of you played it in VR?
No.
Don't want to be sick.
It's insane. It's mental.
I imagine. Is it like in the cockpit?
You're sat in the cockpit. You can look around all the thing. Oh, it looks fantastic. No. But it's got like motion sickness safety measures,
so you can
like change aspects of it. So
yeah. Okay.
You can have it so you have like a narrower field of view,
mm-hmm.
so you're looking like straight out the front, as opposed to like seeing the side as well.
Yeah.
You can have it so when you turn on your side, the ship doesn't turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like stays level.
So you
look level, but your ship goes like that. Whereas normally it'd be like. You feel like you were like doing this.
Oh god, yeah.
But it works really well if you play. So if you want, you can change different aspects of it to make it suit you. It's well worth doing though. It's hard, as Wipe Out normally is, but
I imagine
damn good fun. It really is. You do get that sense of speed with it, and it's one of the most enjoyable forms of VR I've played. Plus, it's just for a game that I really love. So, but yeah, I would really recommend that. But after you've done like three laps, you might have had enough.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah,
that's just enough for now. But well worth trying out.
Yeah. Good for the experience.
So, there we have Wipeout.
Whoa,
Game Hall of Fame. Where are they? Love that game. As a matter of fact, I might go and whack the VR out again and try that out now.
Get the dust off.
Treat yourself.
Alright, if you enjoyed listening to us, please consider tuning in next time. We release bi-weekly. You can visit our website at jokingdolphin.com, where we post blogs, the Hall of Fame, and you can get involved via forum to continue the conversation. Also, feel free to follow us on all social media platforms. Find Joking Dolphin on Facebook, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at Joking Dolphin. Until next time, thank you for listening. Ta-ra!
See you later.
Bye.